translation is over, but although she was not accustomed to such difficulties, Queen Archie followed her husband in the relative principles of living in the forest like great sages. She lay down on the ground and ate only fruits, flowers and leaves. And because she was not fit for these activities, she became proud and timid. Yet, because of the pleasure she derived in serving her husband, she did not feel any difficulties. The words Bharata Vrata Dharma Nishaya indicate that a woman's duty or religious principle is to serve her husband in all conditions. In every civilization, a man is taught from the beginning of his life to become a brahmachari, then an ideal grihastha, then vanaprastha, then sannyasi, and the wife is taught just to follow the husband strictly in all conditions of life. After the period of brahmachari, a man accepts a household life, and the woman is also taught by her parents to be a chaste wife. Thus, when a girl and a boy are united, both are trained for life dedicated to a higher purpose. The boy is trained to execute his duty in accordance with the higher purpose of life, and the girl is trained to follow him. The chaste wife's duty is to keep her husband pleased in the household of life in all respects. And when the husband retires from family life, she is to go to the forest and adopt the life of vanaprastha or vanavasi. At that time, the wife is to follow her husband and take care of him, just as she took care of him in household life. But when the husband takes the renounced order of life, being a sannyasa, the wife is to return home and become a saintly woman, setting an example for her children and daughters-in-law, and showing them how to live a life of austerity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, his wife, Vishnu Priya Devi, although only 16 years old, also took the vow of austerity due to her husband's leaving home. She chanted her beads, and after finishing one round, she collected one grain of rice. In this way, as many rounds as she chanted, she would receive the same number of rice grains and then cook them and saute prasada. This is called austerity. Even today in India, widows or women without husbands, women whose husbands have taken sannyas, follow the principles of austerity even though they live with their children. Little Maharaj's wife, Archie, was steadily determined to execute the duty of a wife, and while her husband was in the forest, she followed him in eating only fruits and leaves and lying down on the ground. Since a woman's body is considerably more delicate than a man's, Queen Archie became very frightened by Karshita. When one engages in austerity, his body generally becomes lean and thin. Becoming fat is not a very good qualification in spiritual life, because a person who is engaged in spiritual life must reduce the comforts of the body, namely insignificant mating, to a minimum. Although Queen Archie became very keen from living in the forest according to regulative principles, she was not unhappy, for she was enjoying the honor of serving her great husband. Although she was not accustomed to such difficulties, Queen Archie followed her husband in the regulative principles of living in the forest like great sages. She lay down on the ground and ate only fruits, flowers and leaves. And because she was not fit for these activities, she became finally thin. Yet because of the pleasure she derived in serving her husband, she did not feel any difficulties.
We come to the special.
So the first point Srila Prabhupada makes is that a woman's duty is to serve her husband in all conditions.
And we heard this many times. We heard very often that the wife should follow her husband. The point that is missed often is that it is very difficult to follow someone who doesn't go anywhere. Everybody wants to follow a person who is dynamic in his quest, spiritual quest, and he is moving toward the goal of life. But it's difficult to follow someone who doesn't move. Therefore, the very next sentence Srila Prabhupada explains in a very different culture, a man is taught from the beginning of life to become a Brahmacharya. This is the required qualification for someone to become a fit in a dynamic. Otherwise, it will be very difficult in the Vrihastha life. The required qualification for the successful Vrihastha life is learned actually in Brahmacharya. These are the same qualities that will make you good Brahmacharya. The same qualities will make you good Vrihastha. And Prabhupada continues, then Brahmas, then Sannyasi. The same thing is, in the Brahmacharya Ashram, one is thought to be one is trained to be to respect the authorities, to be very humble, to be active, to be clear, to follow the process, to follow his dharma. And then exactly the same set of qualities will make him successful Vrihastha. Of course, there is always this specific things one learns when he goes to the ashrams. But the basic requirements are supposed to be learned in the beginning of life. And one could learn these things when he moves on. But then it will be more difficult, it will be more stressful. Because when one becomes a Vrihastha, then it is supposed that he knows already all these things. It's like, for example, you go on the altar and you're supposed to do the puja, the arati, but you're not trained. Exactly. You have some vague idea that, okay, now I'm supposed to offer incense and flour and all the items, but you don't know exactly what's the order and how to perform achana and like this. You could learn right there, someone could just try to explain it. But it would be very stressful for everybody, for the people that watch you, for the devotees that became much happy for you, for everybody. Therefore, the very culture, like Prabhupada explains in many places here also, the training starts with this Brahmacharya action. And it is not, supposed to just to propagate this, just for the sake of being fanatical or anything like this. This is for the good of our society, because it's very difficult to have good Vrihastha ashram if we don't have good Brahmacharya. And therefore, the training for the two main types of Brahmacharya. The nice speaking of Kurvan, the training is the same. They see the same training. It's not that the Kurvan Brahmacharya has to learn how much size and choice or something like that. They get the same training, and the difference between them, Nashtiki means that he will not get married, and Bhukurvan means that he will finally get married after some period of training in Nashtiki. The Nashtiki Brahmachari, he has heard Veda, he heard that the only worthwhile thing is pure Krishna consciousness, and Maya is very painful. He heard these things. And also he understood. That means he contemplated and he associated with people with realization.
he understood this, and also he got the realization that this is true, just by hearing. The Upakulama, he also heard properly, he understood, but because of some mental conditioning and some mental habits and some conditioning from previous lives, he was prevented from getting immediately this realization just by hearing. Therefore, he has to get this realization by going to the Grihastha life. But then he enters Grihastha ashram with full knowledge. He's not unprepared. He knows exactly what to expect, and he knows, okay, I can deal with this, and I will, I'm ready. And then if he follows the process, then at the end of this period, he will get this realization. Grihastha life is just to ensure that he will get this realization. And it doesn't actually, it doesn't really matter, because from the point of eternity, like we in the material world, since time immemorial, just 25 or 30 years, it doesn't really matter. It's not long period, it's very short, it's almost nothing. Therefore, the point is that we want to get this realization, and if you can get it now, it's fine. If you can get it a little later, it's also fine. It doesn't actually, it's not a big deal. It goes very quickly. Time, especially when you get older. People say that when you get older, the time goes quicker. Have you heard? It's very good. It's gone from the back. So it's like if you tell a kid, like, he wants to go somewhere, and you tell him, no, it's okay, you can go in 5 minutes. For the kid, 5 minutes is like, oh dear, he will start. I want it right now. But 5 minutes for an adult is, you can wait 5 minutes. The important thing is to get this realization. But we also have, so these two, Naishiki and Upakulama, they are first class Paramahansas. Because they heard and supported both of them. And their goal is fixed on Krishna. They are not a mental bodies. But we also have second class Paramahansas. Second part of Brahmacharya means that he thinks that Brahmacharya means just a piece of orange cloth. And he's very concerned, he's very choosy about the t-shirt he wears, the sunglasses he has, and shikha. Everything should be back at prasada, should be according to his taste. Everything should be nice. The room, he cannot live in any room. In that sense, should be special. Everything should be according to his taste. And he heard the knowledge, exactly the same knowledge. He heard Veda, but he did not understand. Therefore, because he did not understand, he seriously thinks that just by living, connecting with woman, just this by itself will make him happy. He seriously thinks like this. And then when he hits the ground, and the reality is that Dharma, following Dharma, because Dharma is Dharma. After following Dharma, the many says that when he hits the ground with this, then he's very surprised. He doesn't know because he's not prepared. And then he starts, he thinks, what is this? I was expecting some heavenly pleasures, and here we have this reality, sorrow. And then he might come to the next great conclusion, which is, well, actually, everything is fine with me. The only problem is my wife. I should get another one, then he gets another one, and then another one. And this creates havoc in the society. And this is a reality for us. Therefore, it's so important that we have some Brahmacharya ashram, and we train men to be first class Brahmacharya. It's very important. And another important point that Prabhupada makes is that to follow Dharma, religious duties, this is actually the real human part of happiness. There are basically three levels of happiness. Rasa, Bhakti Mataka explains. The first is when the sense contact with the sense objects. This is the basic level. Then we derive some happiness, some pleasure, but it is very short, usually, few seconds or few minutes, because our senses are very big in a human body, not the animals. They take longer period that they can enjoy, but we're very, very limited. So it can be very strong, this so-called pleasure, but it's very limited. So when it ends, when the sense is disconnected from the sense object, it ends. And then you cannot generate again the same thing. The same thing. You could remember, you could try to have some memory how it was nice and it was so good, but actually you cannot generate the same thing. It's gone. And not just that it is gone, it's very temporary, but according to Bhagavad Gita, this is actually the source of all miseries. When the contact between the sense and the sense object is not connected to Krishna, then it's the source of miseries. Yehi samsparsha javoda dukkhayunayate adhyantavanta kamdhyanate shivamateva. This samsparsha, this contact, this dukkhayunayate, is source of misery. And the wise persons, because they know that it has beginning and end, they don't take pleasure, they don't bother pursuing this. So the next buffer is the emotional buffer. And that means that basically that means following one shama, following one duty, according to the rules Krishna established. And then these emotions, that are generated, they can last for a very long time, for a life. Even more, there are some stories in the Shastra that goes on. Like for example, sometimes you can hear these young boys or girls, they talk about their former girlfriends or boyfriends. It goes both ways. And you can hear it's just on sensual platform, usually. That's the case. And it's just, well, he was like this, he was like that, and she was like this, and she did this, and she did that. But it's completely dry, no emotions. Just the facts, plain facts of life. Only sanctification. And when on the other side, you have this, still this veterans from the war. In my country, they still have these gatherings, they are 18, 19 years old, with this medallic ordering. Yes. Uh-huh. And they come together and they wear the flag and they start telling the stories from the war. And they become very emotional, they start crying. Why? Because did they do this for themselves? They actually did it for someone else with the risk of their lives. Therefore, on this platform, they can, again, just by remembering this, they can experience the full emotions, the full range of emotions, and they become very moved again and again. It doesn't go tasteless. As the time goes. So exactly the same thing Srila Prabhupada explains here. Although Maharshi became very timid from a moment and forward, according to Vedic principles, she was not ready, for she was enjoying the honor of serving her great husband. So here we're talking about queen, that means she's accustomed to who she like, and still she performed this capacity. That means there was no any pleasure or sensual power. The only level of pleasure is coming from performance of duty. And of course, future pleasure, which is commanded. And she would have said here, she was enjoying it. Always was difficult, she was enjoying. She was enjoying exactly this emotional aspect of performance of dharma. And also she would have given the example of Chandra Devi. She was 16 years old when Mahaprabhu left her. And from what I have heard, she was living for a long time. I think more than 8 years. Is that correct? So it was a long time.
and she was doing this stuff. It's another example of like Rabbi Kerman Kuleyesa, she was telling this nice story about his grandmother. So we're very fortunate that we have these examples of very cultural how it is followed still today, at least some elements. And she would like to say that elephant, dead or alive, cause the same price. So the culture's name, people say it's already dead, but if someone can have, if someone has an eye to see, you can see it's still a big culture for today. Hindi, but the Purmaharaj told so this is stressing this. I feel this for you. If you cannot see, then you get some glasses and you definitely get some knowledge of conversation examples. So, today's Tavashi, I don't want to go. First, I'm thirsty, I can't speak. So, second, I see the voice. Everybody wants to go to get some breakfast. So, if you have any questions, comments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you
say
there
was
three kinds of happiness?
Yes.
Did you say them all? Did I miss one?
I didn't say them all. So the first one is called Tivarasa. That means the sense touches the sense object. The second one is Sakivarasa. That means falling down the shama. And this is the emotion of that. And the third is Vaikuntarasa. The spiritual world, the relationship between the liberate the source of Krishna and Vaikuntha.
I have a question because it seems to me you mentioned that that Queen Archie's happiness was emotional happiness, right? From doing her duties in the Varnashram, but you also quoted Vishnu Kriya. That also seemed to belong to the third category as well.
Well, if this following Dharma is connected to Krishna, it becomes also spiritual.
Okay, so then it's both.
It starts there, but it doesn't end there. This is the most conducive part of the yoga.
This Brahmachari training in the Vedic society, was it for all classes of the, or only for Brahmanas? Or?
From what I know, it was for the first three, but to be correct here. For the manuscript, they were getting the same training, same basic training. So that meant that even if you're a prince, some of the king, you should go and study and there are other boys who are not so. They don't come from so special background like you.
So for Shudra, no Brahmachari?
No. Prabhupada
said
Brahmachari. Good.
Good to know. But then if we say Kala Shudra Sambhava, I was just thinking, I liked very much your explanation, very systematic, very nice. But I was just thinking, in the movement, the Grihastha Ashram, we cannot say, comparatively speaking, has been, if we do statistics of many families who are successful, and I think you mentioned it in the class at some point, was not that good. So I was wondering, and we had Brahmachari training, so what did we do? What are the factors that make this happen? Okay, it would be that Kali Yuga, I'm just wondering and thinking about that, if you would like to comment on this topic.
Why the Brahmachari training didn't come up so good? Mm-hmm. Is the question.
What's that?
Why the Brahmachari training didn't give these results? That
well, this is one question. Because we had in the early years of the movement, Brahmachari was very much emphasized, And even though when we talk about Brahmachari, in many cases, many people think of the Brahmachari training we have. Was there anything missing in that training? Or there are factors in society that, okay, in the Vedic times, everything was much more structured and there was family support and so many factors. What were the factors that make that not so, the success is not that great? I'm just raising the question.
Before we could comment on something, I was not even there at the time. The same experience, I just heard some stories. I was going in ISKCON before I joined, so very difficult to comment. Well, I guess that there were some missing points. There was no, maybe, proper understanding that there are two types of first class brahmacharis, that most of the brahmacharis, they just have to be prepared for the family life. And then there's this notion, if you don't make it, then you are useless. I would say lack of maturity, understanding, but long-term vision. Yes.
Just if I could add one thing. I think there's two sides to it in terms of the proper brahmachari training, which prepares one for grihastha life, but then also guidance in the grihastha ashram, which helps one succeed in that area. So in other words, that whenever one enters a particular ashrama, then that person should accept an ashrama guru, someone who is guiding them in that ashrama. And in terms of grihastha life, we've had very few ashrama gurus, because a young couple cannot be successful unless they're guided at every step from before marriage with the intention of getting married, and someone's looking after them in terms of they're finding the right partner, and then the actual wedding process, and then the first few years of marriage, which can be difficult, also getting used to the partner, and so forth, even up to the point of middle age, when again there's some difficulties possible. In other words, that whatever ashram a person is intending to enter, it's very important that they receive the shelter of an ashram of guru. Just as if someone's intending to take sannyas, then they should seek the shelter of a sannyasi who can guide them on best how to pursue that path. Perhaps something may be of the fact that there's something lacking on that side also, where the grihastha ashram was so less cultivated, and like you said, partly because it was less valued also, that that there was very little guidance from that side. And now the hope is that as the society sees instances of successful grihasthas and senior grihasthas, then they can play that very important role in terms of helping younger grihasthas work through their marriage life successfully.
Thank you. And also I would say that the vanaprasas are also very important, yes, in this regard, because what I heard traditionally, the vanaprasas, they would live just in the end of the village, not exactly inside, not in the forest, for instance. Yes? So that the grihasthas, they would come still and they advise from them, because the vanaprasas, they are supposed to be already very renounced, they can give advice without being attached to the family. They could just say, well, it's like this, and if you like it, if you take it, you'll be successful. You know, I don't mind so much. Yeah. It's just for your benefit. They have this strength to do this. So, I would say that this action is also a little under, not without the boundaries. So, I'm sure that they can travel around and teach the customers and give advice. Like we have in my country, Sankarshan of the world is Dubai, mission pretty much. They are a big help for the customers. Well, they are a big help for us also. But it's fine.
So also, Papa, one
of
the customers, he wants an Indian couples to try to coach the American girls But it was very difficult, and if you consider all the samskaras that the devotees had before they joined, so then when they hear about celibacy and renunciation, it's not unusual that assimilating and understanding that would be a little imbalanced. But I think I understand that Prabhupada said in the future generations, these things will be less of a problem.
Yes, because our children, they'll be actually, their culture will be, they'll be born in these cultures. So, much easier. This is how.
I also think part of the Maharaja's problem in the Vedic times, it was much easier for women, so maybe they had to figure it out or something, but in our society we have such difficulty with couples always not being able to save the marriage. And I think part of it is just in Kali Yuga, people are much less tolerant, much less able to do anything really, and being with a partner and raising children and all these things are very difficult. You know, you have to sacrifice a lot from your becoming, joining with somebody else, living your life together. And so a lot of couples, they just break up and divorce and all these things because they don't have the patience, they don't have the tolerance, they don't have the selflessness to do it. And that's why from one match to another, it never works.
And therefore, both brahmacharya and vrasta training, what is necessary, has to be done.
Just wanted to tell you a bit more on the same one as Jayabhadra Mahaji, that brahmacharya training is, begins at 5 years of age, and then it goes maybe for 20 years. And so, 5 years or 7 years or 8 years of brahmacharya training after a person has had all of those samskaras, it's just a drop. Because I know from the girls' point of view, at least by the time you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you come into contact with the Hare Krishna movement at that age, you will have already been brought up in so many fairy tales about princesses and also so much interaction with men already. So much in the educational system, so much independence, and your hearts are very set by that age. So you have a few years of intellectual readjustment of those emotions from your children. It takes maybe an entire Grihastha ashram to get to the point of understanding what you should have known at 20.
We can say our generation kind of missed the boat, but let's see what we do with our children. That's important, because now we don't have around many children that are around this age, 5 6. Are we so convinced that they should go to this place? Are good course without children. And we just say that it's supposed to be, I mean, when it comes to our life, our children, we're not so sure anymore. We have some other ideas of consideration. Alright, thank you very much.
Yeah.